Karen from County Fairgrounds USA, countyfairgrounds.net. Welcome to today's podcast.
Hello, this is Cliff.
Hi, do I have the Mr. Cliff Singer Walking Tree Man on the line with me?
That's right, that's right. Although I go by Oakley the Tree Man these days, I don't push the walking so much.
Okay. Obviously, the first question that comes to my mind is, how did you get to be a walking tree?
Well, I used to have another career before I was a tree as a variety performer for about 30 years. I was a tightrope walking, juggling, acrobatic comedian, and I bought a pair of stilts, and I, as you do, you know, props that you think you'll use. And they were the groovy stilts. They were made out of aluminum. They had a bendable toe. They were the Bigfoot stilts. And finally, I decided, what am I going to do with them? And at first, I worked with some guys who, this is a bit of a story, but I'll get through it here. But they were working as jousters at Knights in Armor. And so we worked a gig together where they just stood in the hallway upstairs. And when a group came through, they would just move slightly and rattle. And we would hear a shriek, and we'd know the next group would come in. So I thought I'd be a 10-foot-tall knight in armor. That was my first idea. But it turned out that's very expensive and very heavy. And so I turned from that. But somebody said, well, you could make it out of armor, I mean out of leather, and that would be lighter. And so I looked into that and actually ordered armor made for my costume, and he was a very slow leather worker, and I was a tree for about 3 or 4 years, and he finally finished the armor. That, and I wasn't interested in it anymore. But basically, the thing about the armor was the leather armor I could do it in any color, and you know, it could be a silver knight or a gold knight or a green knight. And the green knight popped up because like, oh, I know that story. It's Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a King Arthur tale. Anyway, I looked that up and read all about that story, and basically the Green Knight is a form of the Green Man. The Green Man is an ancient archetype that's popped up in different cultures around the world, separate from each other. It's like our response to nature. We put a face on it because that's what we do, you know, how we look and see the face in the moon or the clouds or trees. So that's my theory, is that we humans created the Green Man, you know, putting a face on nature, because that's how we make it we can be relate to it that way. Anyway, the Green Man basically is a symbol of irrepressible nature, and basically it represents our oneness with nature. So as soon as I read about this archetype, I thought, oh, I'll be a tree version of the Green Man. And that's basically what I've been doing for 24 years.
Wow, that's a long time. Okay. Have you ever done anything else?
Well, I was the variety performer for 25 years, so the tightrope walking and traveling around the world and doing all of that. And that I was doing both for a while. The tightrope, I did the act on the stage with the tightrope and the juggling and all that. And I also did, I started doing walks across lakes on the wire, kind of like a high wire mm-hmm. across the lake. So I was doing mm-hmm. the tree, I was doing the show, I was doing the walk across the lake, and basically that was a little too much. You know, when you've taken on too many plates and you go, why am I working? So I decided to focus on the tree because once I started doing the tree, it got more of a mission to it. You know, I've also traveled on my own dime to China to promote planting trees in the Gobi Desert and plant trees in the Gobi Desert. And I've traveled to Okinawa on my own dime to promote the International Day of Peace there as a tree. So the tree has been more than just a job. It's also my mission. And it's a great way to bring that environmental message to people as a tree. And so that's why I do it exclusively now. And I'm expanding on that. I'm actually creating a forest right now where I'll have four tree characters. There. yeah. So
there's other people going to work with you then?
They have been, but this four trees that I'm talking about, I'm going in a different direction. I haven't had that. I've had some luck, but not great luck with other workers. I've been copied a lot by employees and people that I've friends and whatnot. And it's hard as an artist when you have a vision and it's blocked by different things. So right now I'm going with AI. I'm going with robots in the haunted attraction industry. They have, these skulls. You walk into a room and the skull talks to you on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all by pressure sensitive or a ray that you crossed, and it talks to you. Well, about 10 years ago, they would just talk to you, and then they would turn their head a couple of years later and look one way and look the other, and then they'd have eye movement. And now they have full motion where it can sort of dip its head and look over at you, and they have random eye movement in the eyes. And I've been watching all this stuff. You know, when you're in a stilted costume profession, you look at all the various stilted things and all that stuff and different ideas. But basically, I bought four of these, and I've been working on making my trees animatronic with these skulls that can talk to each other. So I'm going to be the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain with the joystick and the microphone. And I'm envisioning it being a lot more fun. Maybe I'll have a nice cold drink there for myself, too. So that's what I'm working on right now, where I'm like behind the curtain pulling the strings.
Okay, so you've always had a fantasy. You've always wanted to be the Wizard of Oz, right?
Well, it just sort of turned out that way, that he's behind the curtain, and I'm going to be that guy behind the curtain. Right now I'm inside the tree, and I'm working my way down to the ground and behind the curtain. So that's my big goal. Get back behind that curtain.
That's quite a costume you've been wearing. Is it heavy?
Yeah, that's partially why I'm motivated to create my forest and get behind the curtain, because it's about 85 pounds. I'm 68 years old now. I just turned couple of weeks ago, and I don't see myself doing this in 10 years, especially with these hot days we occasionally get. Because I wear a lot of coolant, but everything's got its limits, So it's quite heavy, and it's quite a job to move it around and everything.
Yep.
But
yep.
This tree thing, I don't think I want to be doing that when I'm older.
Yep. Okay, so where have you played that you've really enjoyed in some of your fondest experiences?
Well, I played all over the states. In fact, somebody just put on Facebook about what states have you slept in, and pretty much all the contiguous ones and Alaska contiguous states I've been in, and even Alaska, but I haven't been to Puerto Rico, and I've played all over the place, and it's really beautiful. I will say this, I've been working in West Virginia the last couple of years. I have to say, I think it might be the prettiest, I have to say. Kind of like those rolling hills make these little puffy white clouds, and you get that blue sky and the green hills, and that windows background that we saw forever with the blue sky and the green. It's just so, this bucolic, it's very peaceful. So that might be the prettiest place. But as far as working, I've enjoyed working in Japan because of the society there and how they treat people, even though it's funny, you'll talk to other performers. It's very hard to get laughs. Our humor is different and this and that. But just as far as the societal vibe, it's a very nice place to be.
Okay. Is there any place that you would like to perform that you haven't done yet?
Not particularly. My big wants are putting my little forest together and presenting that. That's kind of where my main focus is. And, it's... With me, I get a similar response all around the world, and it's really nice getting different audiences and whatnot. But basically, the tree is just like dropping an alien into any situation. people just kind of go, "What the?" There's a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen anybody else, doing what you kind of do?
Well, before I started, no. After I started and after I've been doing it for so long, I have at least 3 dozen imitators, probably more. Basically, every vine in all the Disney parks is a copy, because the lady who designed those vines, she worked with me on my costume and was inspired to do the vine. One of my former employees just decided to be a tree and works with an unscrupulous agent in our market. And that's just how the cookie crumbles. And there's a lot of other people that have copied it as well. But the thing is you just have to stay in your own lane, do your own thing. You know, everybody makes their own choices. I think that we've all got a special gift. That's the point of being an original. Bring your special gift out. Be authentic. You're robbing yourself if you copy someone else.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
That's my speech.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So since it's so hot, and I agree that a lot of the fairs are hot, so how long do you usually perform for?
Well, I've had to various times over the years. Like if I do a special event and I'm greeting the audience and they're only coming in during one time and they've booked me for this one gig and this one thing, I've been known to stay out there up to 2 hours. But then I'm finished. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
on a normal day, I go out and stay about 35 to 45 minutes four times a day.
Okay. All right. That mm-hmm. sounds good. So, I mean, you can do a major state fair and it has a run
yeah,
of 10
days,
right?
Sure. Yeah, I do that all the time. Yeah, yeah. That's my, if you do that kind of thing, it's like, yep, that's where I am. That's
okay.
What I do.
All right. So when do you think these new robot things of yours are going to be ready?
Well, I'm hoping next year. Right now, my me working by myself, I'm in full gear, and now you want to know the funniest thing? The most effective thing I've added is I have puppets on my tree, and I got one of those dog toy squirrels and made a puppet out of it. And that little puppet, when it waves goodbye to the sort of under four, 3-year-old set, and they look at that and they wave back, and the whole crowd goes, "Aw."
That's cute.
It's like the best thing. Yeah, yeah. So you can relate
to
a tiny little thing, you know, waving at them. It's so cute.
Yeah, I bet the kids love you.
Yeah, they do. They do. And everybody's a kid when you're 12 feet tall.
I never thought of it that way.
I just have a weird vantage point. I've been looking down at from that perspective for like 22 dozen years, so it's just weird. I really am trying to get closer to the ground. I really am. You hear me? I'm talking about sitting back behind a curtain.
That sounds weird. I have to tell you.
It does, doesn't it? Well, everything I've come up with has probably sounded weird to people. So, yeah.
So
and
you
oddly, I get paid for the weird. So there you go.
Yeah, yeah. You have a terrific imagination. I'll give you that. So,
well, thanks. Thanks. I try to use it for good.
So is there any, do you have any experiences that either, stand out to you mm-hmm. as you've done this through mm-hmm. the years?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I do. For example, one time these guys in Yuma County Fair came up and said, "Hey, we want a picture." So the one guy took a picture with the other guy. I didn't really notice the other guy would come up to get the picture. And then they say, "Okay, my turn." And so the other guy hands him the camera. And then I noticed the guy who had been in the picture had zero arms, right? Not left nor right, right? He just had feet. And I said, "What the?" And so he picks up the phone with it's a phone camera with his foot. He holds it up with one foot. So he's standing on one foot, holds it up to shoot his friend and touches the screen with his nose to get the picture and gets it. Just like, and it's like, okay, thanks so much. See ya. And it's like, if I could have got a picture of that guy. It was just amazing. So just like, all of a sudden you see something like that and you go, wow. I was impressed.
Yes.
Don't be so impressed with me. I'm very impressed with that guy. So, yeah.
Yes, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool things happen. Yeah.
Mr. Cliff, how long notice do people need to give you if they want to book you, and how do they reach you?
Well, my website is a great way. In fact, anybody who wants to book me, you can just fill out an opt-in form on my website, cliffspinger.com, and it sends me a text. In fact, I've noticed that that's been working really good for me because I call people back right then, and it's when they were just looking at my website, and it works really well. That's the best way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. Oh, you know what I forgot to ask you? Do you have any kids?
I do, and it's so funny because she grew up on the stage because we were variety performers, her mother and I. And we split up when she was about 4 or 5. And she worked with her mother for a while, but I'm telling you, at some point she was like, I'm going to go the other way. I'm not going to be a performer. If that was your question. Not an accountant exactly, but she's definitely the other direction from wanting to be on stage. You know, she put in her time back then, I guess. Okay. I don't know.
And I just always wonder now when I talk to you guys, how people get started in these things. It's kind of interesting. So.
Right. I kind of notice people go, like I say, the opposites. Like all of us weird jugglers and stuff, our parents were the, you know, car dealers or cooks or normal people. And I think if you're born of the performers, you may want the normal life, you know, because you see it on TV and everything else. Meanwhile, you're bouncing all over the country all the time. You may go, gee, I wonder what it's like to just go to the same place all the time. Well, my daughter did do a lot of things when she was young. In fact, she was on at least a half dozen front pages of newspapers in the show, you know, balancing on my hand and all this stuff. So she had her moment in the spotlight, and for what it's worth, and she made her choice later. So,
Okay.
Which I think is good. All these kids should be able to make their own minds up what they want to do. Right?
Yeah, and I'm sure they love you as a Mr. Tree.
Oh, it's mutual. Believe me, it's mutual. I wouldn't do it otherwise. It's really fun.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Cliff. I've enjoyed talking to you a lot.
Okay, great, great. Well, thank you so much, Cool K. You have a great evening. Nice chatting with you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.